kiddos, if you'll come on, I want y'all to look over right over there, and there's a lady who went through more than anybody else to get here today. We're glad to have Miss Betty back with us. God bless you. God bless you. She's in rehab and hopes to be on her feet here before long. God bless you, Miss Betty. We're glad you're here. All right, everybody look this way. I'm going to tell you a story with this piece of paper and these scissors, okay? You ready? Ready for the story? All right. It's a story about a young man, and this piece of paper is going to help me tell the story. He thought he had it all together. I want you to pay attention to the paper, okay? You ready? All right, now, in fact, if you look at the graph of his life, he thought he was on the way up to do everything. Oh man, things were clicking for him. He had control over everything in his life, he thought. Well, in fact, he started buying some things. He bought him a house. Man, that house, it was the best thing anybody had ever seen. And people thought he was a big, big deal. In fact, it was so good, everything that was going on in his life, that his life just kept climbing and climbing. Oh man, everybody thought he was something else. They looked at all the stuff he had accumulated. He had houses, cars, he had the great job, he had all that stuff. In fact, he went looking. Well, there was something he didn't have though. So he went out and he purchased something that would make him soar over everybody. Whew. He bought an airplane. Y'all know anybody owns an airplane? Yeah.
A pilot.
Yeah, a pilot. All right. But you know what? Even when he had the airplane, he still had an empty spot in his life. And things start happening to him. And cutting into his life, all kind of stuff. He started having some problems because he realized that stuff he had was not giving him peace in life. He was having problems with his family and things were going on, and it just seemed to be cutting a little bit away from his life, and until finally he got to the end of it and he realized that the thing that was missing from his life was Jesus. He figured out that he couldn't buy enough stuff, get enough stuff, own enough things to ever fill that hole that was inside of his life. That Jesus was the only one who could do that. Now, y'all give me my parts back here for just a second. All right? All right. Nope, 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 nope. All right, I want you to look at this. This young man had a choice, because the way he had been headed in his life was leading in a direction that was not very good. And I'm going to show you that here in just a second. His life was headed in a direction that was leading him to one place. And I want y'all to see this place. Can everybody see? What word does that spell? His life was headed away from God, away from everything God wanted for him in his life. And so he had a choice. He could continue living his life the way he had lived his life, or he could choose Jesus. And he decided that he would ask Jesus into his life, and he became a Christian. That's the choice God gives to all of us. Let's pray again. The Lord, I pray for all these children today as they have heard you again speak to them. And all of us big children have heard you again speak to us. I thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, y'all can go to Kid Zone. We're sure happy you're here today, that you chose to come. And if you're our guest, we sure want you to be comfortable while you're here so you can experience the presence of the Lord. Glad Miss Betty is here today. There's several other people here today. Glad the Hinesleys have come. They're back with us today. They were with us for a long time. And they run a cat farm up in Middle Georgia. Y'all can talk to them later. Daniel, you have some people with you today. Who do you have with you today? Where are they? Why aren't you sitting with them? Laura and Dwayne, would y'all stand up? I want everybody to get a look at y'all. These are Daniel's parents. You've probably, those of you who have, I forget the name of that magazine, but Fonderific, she and her partner, number one business in small business in the state of Georgia 2 years in a row, made the front page of that. Right out of her kitchen, by the way. So you never know what the Lord may do. Daniel helped make the recipe, the brain trust. All right. If you have your Bible today, you can turn with me to Luke chapter 15. John, if you go ahead and put our first screen up there. You see this picture here. Some of you may, I doubt there's more than one or two of us in this room that could tell you what this picture is and who painted it. Does anybody know? It's a Rembrandt. It's a Rembrandt. And it's his rendering of the prodigal son. Today I'm going to tell you this story. I'll read it from Luke's gospel. Story of the prodigal son. Isn't it time to come home? I remember when I was a little kid, there was a TV program on Lassie. Anybody remember Lassie? Okay. They brought that TV series to a close, to a crescendo, as Lassie got lost and was on all these missions all over the United States. And the theme every week was, Lassie, come home. And it tells a story of all the things that happened to Lassie. But you know what? We're all telling that same story with our lives, aren't we? And someone's inviting us, all of us, to come home. Now, I want you to hear this story today from Luke 15. And he said, that is Jesus, a man had two sons. The younger of them said to his father, "Father, give me the share of the estate that falls to me." So he divided his wealth between them. And not many days later, the younger son gathered everything together and went on a journey into a distant country. And there he squandered his estate with loose living. Now when he had spent everything, a severe famine occurred in that country, and he began to be impoverished. So he went and hired himself out to one of the citizens of the country. He sent him into his fields to feed his swine. He would have gladly filled his stomach with pods that the swine were eating, and no one was giving anything to him. But when he came to his senses, he said, "How many of my father's hired men have more than enough bread, but I'm dying here from hunger? I'll get up and go to my father. I'll say to him, 'Father, I've sinned against heaven and in your sight. I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me as one of your hired men.'" So he got up and he came to his father. And while he was still a long way off, his father saw him. He felt compassion for him. And he ran and embraced him, and he kissed him. The son said to him, "Father, I've sinned against heaven in your sight. I'm no longer worthy to be called your son." But the father said to his slaves, "Quickly, bring out the best robe. Put it on him. Put a ring on his hand. Sandals on his feet, and bring the fattened calf. Kill it. Let us eat and celebrate. For this son of mine was dead, and it's come to life again. He was lost and has been found." And they began to celebrate. A familiar story, isn't it? The young son, the younger child, he had a better idea. Any of you ever been to that place where you had a better idea than the people in your life, better idea than your parents, better idea than your teachers, better idea? You've been at that place before? This young man, he had a better idea of what he wanted to do with his life. Do you think his dad had an idea of what his life should be? Think his dad had a bigger view of life than the young man did? Let me ask you, at the very beginning, do you think his dad knew what was out there? When he was handing over that cash and giving him, letting him cash out of the estate, do you think his dad could see and knew more than he did? Of course he did. Of course he did. I mean, many times when we're young, we're 10 foot tall and bulletproof. We think we know everything. "Oh, I've got a better idea. I want to do this with my life. I know better than anyone else what my life ought to be." No, you don't. All you know is your opinion. Look at all the things you've already missed that you can't see in life. And we've all been there, haven't we? He left his dad and his family. You know, that's what those good ideas lead to. Left everything that he knew. Look at the life that he left. He wanted to do his own thing. And his dad gave him the free choice to do that. Now, I know you're already racing ahead and you're looking and you're seeing in this story some parallels, aren't you? The young man then went to the far country, and there he wasted his life. Man, as long as he had money in his pocket, what did he have? Let's say it. As long as you got money in your pocket, As long as you have something they want from you, that they can use you, then you've got plenty of friends. When do you find out who your real friends are? When you have nothing. When the money's gone, when the power and influence are gone, when the sexual attraction is gone, when whatever, fill in the blank, when all that, who's left then? Well, in his life, he found out his journey to the far country had come to some conclusions. Because now he was dead broke, and all the people that he had invested his money in, the time that they had spent together, the laughs they had had together, all the stuff of life, and no one's there. Now here's a little Jewish boy, young man. Now, was he would you call him ignorant about the world? When we take an inventory of our lives, we have to realize, you know, there's a certain amount of ignorance that we have about the world, about how it works and what's going on. In desperation, he's very hungry. So he goes and hires himself out to a fella who has a pig farm. Is there something wrong with this picture? What's wrong with it? Here's a Jewish boy working with pigs. You see, not only were they asking him, did the world want to just get the outside stuff? They wanted his soul. They wanted his identity. They wanted to rob him of everything. Thank God the story doesn't end there. He's sitting there in the pig pen. He's hungry, eating the same thing that the pigs are eating. Imagine that. How many of y'all have ever been to a pig farm before? What does it smell like? What does it look like? What happens when they throw the stuff out there? I mean, I thought my sons, you know, my older son and my younger son lived like pigs till I went to a pig farm. I said, man, they got a ways to go yet. There's a little room in there for them to degrade. But there he is, alone. The world has divested him. The world has neglected him. All his supposed friends have left him. And the Bible says he came to his senses. You know, in cartoon language, that would be when you have the person standing here and the little light bulb comes on above their head. That's what happened to him. Wow! I can see. He starts thinking about back home. Now, his father had a lot of guys that worked for him, a lot of guys and gals that worked for him. They're servants there, hired men and women. He had a big estate. He started thinking, you know, even the people that work for my daddy, they've got a place to live. They're not cold at night. They've got plenty to eat, and they've got clothing to wear. Let's see. Maybe it's time to go back home. Maybe it's time to return. Maybe it's time to come home. And he rehearses what he's going to tell his dad. He says, Dad, when I get home, I'm going to say, Dad, I've sinned. I've sinned against you, and I've sinned against the Lord. would you please let me come back home? I'm no longer worthy to be called your son anymore. Can I just come home as a servant? And he starts the journey home. Now, there's something you got to understand about the journey home. The Bible says, let's see exactly what it says. So he got up and he came to his father, and while he was still afar off, his father saw him. That brings tears to my eyes. Now think about that. Every day, from the day in which he left, his father was looking for him to return. That's how much he loved him. And when he sees him, you know, Scripture says he's expecting him. So when he sees him, he runs to the boy. And here's his chance. Here's his chance for him to repeat what he had rehearsed. What does he say as his father embraces him? Look, John, can you back up to the picture on the tie? I want you to see as Rembrandt. Do you see his hands on his boy? His boy has humbled himself before his father, and he's welcoming, his dad is welcoming him home as he says, "Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you, and I'm no longer worthy to be called your son." And what does his dad do? As he's embracing him, he says, "Quickly, bring out the best robe, put it on him. Put a ring on his finger." What did the ring mean? He was restored. He belonged. He belonged to the family. And sandals on his feet. What a beautiful, beautiful picture. "For this son of mine was dead, and now he's come to life. He was lost, and he was found." And that boy, that day, began a brand new life. Here's our story. You see, man thought he had a better idea. You and I did. We thought we could do it ourselves, thought we could save ourselves, that we could do enough good works, that we had it under our control. And so we've lived our life. And that's how most of the world today is living their lives. And you may be here today and you've been living your life away from God's plan for you. But see, in the story, the Father, who is a picture of God Himself, had a plan. Had a plan that was bigger, who knew more, who loved this son unconditionally. But he gave to him the choice, just like God gives us the choice. We get to choose our lives. He is not some puppet master in the sky that is directing us in this way. We choose. We can choose, as I showed the children a while ago, heaven or hell. We get to choose. But when this young man had spent all that he had exhausted all of the avenues, he comes to his senses. You see, that's the point God is waiting on us to come to. He's waiting on you. Have you come to that point where you've exhausted all the avenues of trying to fill this hole in you. Maybe you didn't go to a far country and waste everything. But maybe you've just been rejecting God's plan for your life. And you feel it today. You feel God tugging at your heart. Him wanting the best for you. More for you than you could ever imagine. And what happens? Is God expecting you to come home? Has He prepared for you? Does He love you that much that every day He's looking? He's calling your name. You look at the situations in your life when you've had what we would call spiritual experiences in our lives, and you felt the tug of God. You felt His unconditional love. His love that has no conditions on it. Look at the Father, the picture of God in this story. He loves unconditionally. He doesn't give His Son, oh, well, if you'll do this, then I'll do that. That isn't what He says. He loves Him unconditionally. That's how much God loves you. He cares for you. And He has prepared for you to come home. When I was in college, I went to college here locally. I was on staff at a church in town and would go operate an inner city mission for them. And College Armstrong was out on the south side of town. So each day, when I got finished with my classes, I'd come in, and we usually had activities in the afternoon that I was directing. So I'd have to eat lunch somewhere. My grandmother, Agnes Otto Reynolds, never knew when I was coming to have dinner with her. I would just show up. You know what? Every time I showed up at her door, she was prepared. She was ready for me to come home. In fact, she was living in the house I grew up in on 59th Street, that house that's no longer there. I appreciated it then as much as a 19, 20-year-old kid could appreciate it. But as I look back on it now, I thought, she was always prepared. She was always looking out that door, because I would hear when I'd be walking up the sidewalk to the porch, I'd hear holler out, "Michael!" And she and the IRS, and my aunt are the only ones that call me Michael. And all of my African friends who refused to call me Dusty. Michael, she was looking for me. Hear this today. God has been looking for you to come home all your life. And He is prepared. Jesus said, "I go to prepare a place for you," in John 14. "And if I go and prepare a place for you, I'll come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also." Because His plan is for us to spend forever with Him. And when does that start? At the very moment you receive Jesus into your life. For me, it started Sunday afternoon, 3 o'clock, July 19th, 1970, when in my bedroom, I knelt down on my knees beside my bed, and I decided that being a church member wasn't enough, that doing good works was not enough, that doing good stuff was not enough, that my mom and daddy belonging to Jesus wasn't enough. I needed to come home to Jesus. And that day, he came into my life. And I began a new life with him. I want you to know today, Jesus loves you. That's why he died on the cross in your behalf. Alone for your sin and mine. He took all the sin of the entire world, past, present, and future, upon himself as he died on that cross. He was buried, and 3 days later, he arose from the dead. He ascended back to the Father. He sat down at the right hand of the Father. And now everybody who comes to him in faith and trust can be with him forever. What will you do with Jesus? It's time to come home. The pigsty is not your home. This world is not your home. The stuff you surround yourself with is not your home. Your home is with him forever. Would you like to receive this Jesus into your life? It starts with an act of faith. Just saying to him, Lord, I realize I have sinned, just like the young man in the story. He is the picture of every man in the story. I've sinned, realizing that we have sinned, and then placing our faith in him. Remember what we talked about last week? You know, we repent, we turn from our sin to Jesus. Repentance and faith, two sides of the same coin. What will you do with Jesus? I'm going to pray, and I'm going to call you out publicly. If you'd like to receive Jesus into your life. Brother Dane, Brother Rick, and myself, we're going to be up here. If you'd like to come and pray with us, if you'd like to come and receive Jesus for the first time in your life. I mean, you may have been a member of a church for a long time. But you know, I can be in a garage. It doesn't make me a car. He wants to do something inside. That's where it starts. It starts by placing our faith in him. We invite you today. This is a call to follow. Let's pray. Lord, we come to you right now and we ask you. Lord, we've been asking you to prick our hearts. May we realize how much we need you, Lord. Ask you right now that you'd come. Come, Lord. come to each one of us. And Lord, I know some right now that are hearing my voice. I don't know you're speaking. You're speaking to all of us. May we respond right now by trusting you with our lives. Thank you, Lord. Now, Dane, Rick, and I are going to stand here. If you would like to receive Jesus today, as the music's played, as we're praying, we're in an attitude of prayer, you come and receive Him today. Now open the altar for any other prayers you would like to come and pray. Any other things that are on your hearts today. If you want to come and be prayed for healing. If you want to be prayed for situations going on in your family. The altar is open right now. Come. Just a moment, we're going to receive those cards that you had today that you received at the door today, a little yellow card. And if you'd like for prayer in some specific way in your life, or if you'd like more, you'd like to talk about Jesus a little bit more, one of the pastors, we'd be glad to talk to you. We can talk on the phone or email or text or meet in person. We're available to you. But you mark that on the card. If he wants to call you, mark it on there. And we'll promise not to show up unannounced, okay? All right, so don't worry about that. But we'd like to receive those cards now. And if you have an offering to bring, you know, there are baskets up here and baskets in the back. We'll receive the cards and the offering at this time. We're so glad you have been here with us today, and now we're going to transition to the next part of the, we feasted on the spiritual food, and I believe two things are going to be in heaven. What are those? Fried chicken and sweet tea, and we've got both of those over there to kind of ramp some of you up to get you ready for heaven as the Lord's preparing you. And Tiffany's over here dying 1,000 deaths. Is she calling me names now? Okay. We'll have our blessing here, and I think they're ready over there. I think. Are they close? Oh, Miss Betty's ready. Okay. Y'all make sure you speak to Miss Betty and speak to Lauren Dwayne. Now they'll answer any of your questions about Daniel. We're so glad you've been with us today. Let's pray. I'll send you out. And everyone, and I know some of you think, well, I didn't bring anything. Well, that's why we've got all that food over there. And if you don't eat it, Gary will. We invite you to that. Now, Lord, we ask you, send us out. Send us out in the power of the Holy Spirit. Send us out with the love of Jesus, your Son. And send us out in the authority of our Father God. Amen.